Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Krista Stratton.
Your headphones too high.
No, they're perfect.
They're good? All right. Who are you?
What? Are you? Oh, Krista Stratton.
Oh, yes, like, hello.
I forgot for like a second.
Krista's here.
Yay!
We've been planning this for a long time, and then I got sick, and then Krista's busy, but here we are.
Yay!
It's February. We got you in here.
Yeah.
The first 2 months of the year.
Mm.
You brought your lunch. You got your water.
I did. I'm at least ready in that regard.
You got everything. What kind of water bottle is that you're drinking from?
It's a BKR.
A BKR?
It's a glass, but it has a nice little pink.
Is it difficult to wash
sheet?
That? You just put some liquid in there and some hot water?
I don't really. I rinse. I do a half-ass rinse, stick a finger in there.
Because no one else is drinking from that but you.
Yeah. Well, my son sometimes.
Sometimes he'll take, but you know what? Then what about the coronavirus?
Oh, goodness. Although, hey, this is a time to go to Europe now, right?
Is it?
I mean, it's dirt cheap if you are healthy.
Pilar bought me tickets to go to London in April, but now I don't know if I'm going to go now. Going to have to wait a little bit.
Well, there haven't been any. It's just Italy, right?
I get. We're worried that, like, I go over there and I don't get sick, but then I get, like, stranded there. Like,
right.
I can't get back.
Well, boo-hoo, right? Stranded in
London
for a month? Boo-hoo.
Maybe I better rethink this. Maybe I do. Maybe I do
don't
go
know.
Over.
My stepbrother lives in Singapore.
Okay.
And a couple of weeks ago, when it was just there were a few cases there, mm-hmm. he's like, yeah, his son is still going to school. He's working from home, but he's like, there's been a run on like toilet paper and like just regular goods and services. So I said, can we send you some toilet paper?
Yeah, really?
But he seems to be okay.
All right.
But
how does it, I haven't read up much on it because so many times these fanatical things happen and then 3 weeks later you don't hear about it anymore.
Like SARS?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. So how does this attack my system?
I don't know, but I think because we're of a certain age, it's not good.
Well, who can survive it? Just infants?
I think the robust, the healthy and young.
All right.
I don't know. All right. I really don't know either. Honestly, I've just been so busy. There's only so much I can
concern
manage.
Yourself with.
Yes,
yeah.
I can't manage it. I really.
What does Bless the Hearts? Is it back in production?
We're writing season two now. In fact, I should be working. I'm off on script, and so I should be writing. But we are, I guess it's episode 7 or 8 that we're writing now.
And when do you write? Do you get up first thing in the morning and get it done? Or is it, or do you wait till your deadline is coming up and then you just ram through it?
Well, we're sent off with a lot of stuff. Like we're not really starting from scratch. We're starting from a room written outline.
Okay.
And she pairs us with people. So my co-writer, now that I have one, it's good because it makes me accountable.
Yeah, you don't want to let that person down.
Right. Otherwise, I'd just be in my PJs mm-hmm. all day. And like, oh, when the mood strikes, I would go beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, clack, clack, clack.
That's a Fisher-Price computer.
But having someone and you're right there and you're working, I like it. I actually like being able to work with
someone. So are you two sitting down in front of the computer together side by side?
If we're in a spare room at the office, I'm behind the keyboard because he's kind of a junior writer, but he's real good with jokes. So I can kind of take, because he's fast.
Okay.
I love writing jokes, but I am not fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of will make sure the scene is crafted in a certain way mm-hmm. or set up in a certain way. And then he'll just throw out, like, just He's amazing.
So like if I was looking at your script, it just might have a lot of parentheses that say insert joke here.
Well, what I would do is I would just kind of sit. I'd sit
and wait.
Think, oh. And I'd be like, oh, what's that? And I'd look up something online and like that would be a dead end. Or then I, there's having a sale at ShopBop. Like it's a very scattershot. But then in that last day, I can, once I have the printout, I can kind of hunker down and but I'm not one of these people. I saw Nancy Myers speak once, and she's a big film writer.
She writes the rom-coms
that
possibly she's, older women might enjoy.
Or young women. Anywho.
Come on.
So she has a thing where like she'll get up at a certain time in the morning, takes her kid to school, comes back, writes from this time to this time. Mm-hmm. Then she goes to the gym. And I can't do that.
Yeah.
I try, but it's usually like, I'll be right about to fall asleep and I'll think of a solve to something. Because to me, it's all a puzzle. It's just a puzzle. And I have to kind of like, how do I solve these little things and make it funny? Or what's the game of the scene? And it's so it's not just a straight kind of people interacting. And that'll come to me when I'm, you know, in my car.
Or in the shower or wherever.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And you got to remember it.
Yeah.
You go write it down.
Oh, yeah. Because I am not, if I don't write that down right before
sleep. What was that thing?
Yeah,
my God.
Yeah. I fixed everything and now I've forgotten it. Like, unless I write it down.
Yeah, that's right.
There was this thing called night notes that I used to use, which was a pad in a casing that had a light on it. So when you pulled the pin,
a little light
came on so that, like, you didn't disturb your, you know, partner.
Yeah.
But still, anytime I rustle for pens or anything, he's like, "What? What's who's dead?" And but I'm, yeah. It's.
I thought night notes was you just elbow Gary and say, "Hey, write this down."
No. It is. And then I look at it and I'm like, "What was this? I thought this was great."
Are you a late night person or early morning person?
Really
not for
neither.
Writing, just for,
really
for
neither.
Whatever happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to stay up. Sometimes you have to get up early.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I'm more of a night person than a morning person. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Gary takes Johnny to school. Thank goodness.
That's what I do at our house too. I take the kid to school. Yeah. So I'm just like up.
You're up. And you had a birthday this weekend.
I can't believe that it was 6 years ago that it was my 50th that everyone was at the house.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like six years ago.
Pat.
2 years ago,
right?
Doesn't seem like 6 years ago.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how time goes. But yeah, what did I do on my birthday? Rita and I went to see a scary movie. She likes horror movies.
Okay. So
We saw Brahms, The Boy 2.
Okay.
And which has an 8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Great.
And I gotta be honest. When you see an 8%, I expect it to be horrible. And this was in no way an 8%.
Okay.
It's in no way an 8%. The Wicker Man with Nicolas Cage is an 8%. This is not an 8. I mean, this was exactly what I thought it would be. It had nice little, you know, an 8%, that's like going to be shitty. Totally shit. It wasn't.
Okay.
So
what a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, look, I'm not recommending it. Well, we saw the first one. We had rented the first one a couple weeks ago.
Brahms the Boy?
Yeah, the first one's just called The Boy.
Oh.
But the boy's name is Brahms. It's one of those ones with the
Damien.
It's a possessed doll.
Oh.
It's a doll. You know, maybe Brahms and Annabelle will have a movie together with Chucky.
Right.
And something else down the line when they do that. You know, when they take the horror films and they put them all together.
Well, the possessed doll is a very good trope. It is, you know...
It was
good.
Creepy.
That is creepy. You can't deny that.
It was certainly creeping Katie Holmes out. She's she's the star of the film. She's the mom.
Oh, okay.
But you know, the doll would be, you know, the doll sitting there and then you look away and then the doll's head is turned and you're like, was the doll's head just like that before?
Yeah.
And then you hear footsteps and the doll's gone. Hello, 8%.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Now, was there any like animal that was suspicious of the doll?
Yes.
Okay.
There was a dog. And guess what ends up to that dog?
No.
Yes.
They did not kill a dog.
No, they did kill a dog.
Oh.
I mean, you don't see it happens off screen. You see the bloody carcass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Brahms isn't fooling around.
No, he is not.
He's not fucking around at
all.
So we did that. And then I said, do you want to go get pedicures? And she goes, can I get a manicure pedicure? I said, yeah. She goes, I'm going to get polish. Are you going to get polish? I go, do you want me to get polish? And she said, yeah, get black polish.
Oh,
so my toes are black.
Okay.
Not my toe. My toenails
are.
Yeah. It startles me every time I take my sock off. I'm like, oh, that's right. It's just polish.
Like someone's hit your feet with a bat.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. What else did I do? I went to, we went out for a romantic dinner Friday night,
nice.
Just Pilar and I.
Where'd you go?
There's actually a really nice Italian restaurant that just opened that's in walking distance from our house.
Oh, that's nice.
It's called, I don't know how to say it, but it's H.O.M. I don't know how you say
it. Hom?
I don't know how you say it.
H-O-M?
We just call it the nice Italian restaurant. Because I don't know why I didn't ask the guy when we're there. I don't know why I never say, how do you pronounce this restaurant? I should just call them on the phone and see how they answer.
Right.
Hello, H.O.M. Mm-hmm. Would you like to make a reservation? Mm-hmm. I don't know what it stands for. I don't know anything about it.
All right.
So that's what we did.
Okay.
Relaxing, chilled out. Watched some James Bond movies.
Oh, yeah?
because I'm a guy, so I have to watch all the James Bond movies before the new one comes out.
Oh, okay.
Because that's what guys do.
I would never got on that train.
Every time Pilar will come in for just a second, it'll be like the most misogynistic, sexist part of all time.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can say this, it's you. You don't care. But, you care, but. There's a scene that I don't even remember. Like I've seen From Russia with Love a million times. I don't remember this until my wife comes in and it's on. He's telling this woman, Connery's telling this woman, she's very beautiful. And she goes, really? I don't like my features. I feel like I have, my mouth's too big. And he says, it's just the right size. And then he says, for me.
Oh, okay.
And Pilar's like, this is awful. I'm like, I don't even remember that line. I never remember him saying that line at all. Yeah, terrible.
That's terrible.
It's so gross.
And like, that's not, it's pure setup. Like, there's no reason that anyone would ever complain about the size of their
mouth. And I'm like, well, this is 1961 or two. Boy. So, all right. That's where we're at there. But so that's it. And then what's happening with your other scripts? Anything happening?
No, but I'm very busy.
Mm.
Very busy. Many oars in the water.
I just saw your friend Louis Anderson last Thursday.
Oh.
He hosted the Eddie Money tribute concert.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh, how cool.
A couple times he didn't even come out on stage to introduce the artist. This cracked me up so bad. So Mickey Thomas was one of the performers that night from Jefferson Starship.
Yes.
And Starship. So just from off stage, you just hear, it wasn't ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mickey Thomas. It was just this, Mickey Thomas. I was like, all right, that's the worst introduction I've ever heard in my life. But what are you going to do?
He's not a young man.
No, none of the guys on that show were young. It was, except for James Hetfield.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was a shock because they said, and special guests, and he was one of the special guests.
Who knew that this guy would touch so many?
I know. I
lives.
Guess he was just a nice, friendly guy.
Yeah.
And so that makes an impression in a business full of shitty people.
Yeah. So, yes.
Yeah. All right. We're talking about someone who I believe was probably a super nice person.
I can only imagine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Still is. Because she's still with us.
She's very much with us.
Linda Ronstadt.
There's
a documentary out right now called The Sound of My Voice. I have 5 Blu-ray copies to give away in conjunction with this episode. I just brought it so I would remember.
It's fantastic.
To talk about it. It is.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is great. It's great. And Linda Ronstadt, she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She's not a singer-songwriter. She's a vocalist who interprets other people's songs.
Absolutely.
And sometimes the songs are written for her. And,
and she can sing
any style of music.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is.
It's very interesting as I was picking songs. Like there's some that are just rock and roll numbers, some country numbers. Mm-hmm. Some ballads, it's just all over the place.
It's all
in a
over
way
the place.
That not many people could pull off, I would say.
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, Some people just stay in their lane and that's it.
Right. Like if you think of, okay, who's it? Like, I think Barbara Streisand is an amazing vocalist.
Well, yes.
But she can't really rock out or do.
No, she doesn't rock.
Kind of country things.
No. It's hard for the Jewish people to do the country sometimes, right?
Well, but she does Christmas music so well.
Neil Diamond does Christmas music, but I don't know that he's going to do the country. Although he did record an album called Tennessee Moon that was kind of a country album. It's not that good.
Okay.
so we're going to go through her catalog from beginning till whenever we end up.
Yeah.
Tons of songs. Hard to pick songs because there's so many.
There's so many. And what's so interesting, too, because I'm like, oh, should I throw in some deep cuts? And I'm like, I just don't know that they're, I mean, the hits are so good. And the other cuts, not that they're not good, but they're just, they pale, I think.
Yeah, the hits are so undeniable. That to not feature them would be, you know, what am I going to, well, we're not going to play the songs everyone knows. We're going to play these deep.
Well, right.
Well, okay. I guess. I think I have two of those on here, maybe.
Okay.
But they're actually, one's a well-known song, but maybe you didn't know that she did a version of it.
Sure.
It's one of those things.
Yeah.
And we'll try to give some accolades to the songwriters. And you ready? You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready to hear some music?
Oh, I got three from you up top. I see they're crossed down on my
page. I didn't want you to see what they were.
I love that. I love this. This is terrific.
This first one is with her band, the Stone Ponies. Mm-hmm. It's from their album, Evergreen, Volume 2. It's written by a monkey. It's written by Mike Nesmith. And this song is called Different Drum. Very young Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, I never get tired of that song.
No, I don't either.
Never.
I really love it.
Yeah, some of those old songs, I'm like, but this one, I could listen all the way through every
time. What's an old song comes on and you're just like, you're done with it?
Well, it's funny. I was thinking of this because I think she did a version and I think of David Wilde, Walk Away Renee. I know it's a great song, but for that just comes right to mind. And I'm like, oh, I don't need to hear Walk Away Renee.
She's at the Left Bank.
Yes. I know he loves it. And mm-hmm. I don't know why that one came up into my head, but
I get it though. I mean, I understand.
Some of the Beach Boys songs, which are great. Again, this is not a knock on the quality of this music.
Right.
It is endured for a reason.
Someone might say that about Let the Good Times Roll. Someone might say...
some horrible person, maybe. Not a good person.
I will be seeing Elliot Easton this Saturday night at the... there's a Love and Spoonful show at the Alex
Saturday.
Theater in Glendale.
Yeah, they did that before, I think.
Yeah, but the Love and Spoonful's actually reuniting. They're John Sebastian's coming in from New York, and three of the four original members. So that's going to be fun.
So if you believe in magic,
I know.
Get yourself to the Alex Theater.
I know. It's gonna summer in the city. The three former guests of the show are going to be on that night: Elliot Easton, Bill Mooney, and Marshall Crenshaw are on the show.
Oh,
Carney Wilson.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to be fun, I think. Should be.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
It's another one where I was, I called Chip Chinnery to see if he wanted to go, and he couldn't go. And Pilar was in the doorway and she's like, I'd like to go to that one. I'm like, speak up, honey. I go, if Chip said no, what am I going to do?
She didn't want to go to the Eddie Money tribute concert?
Oh my God, no. Oh Lord above, no. No, no, no. John Waite?
I know.
It was amazing. It was
that
really...
looks like, I'm like, what is this?
I'm like, this is everyone. These are all people in my wheelhouse. The only disappointment was Rick Springfield had the flu, so he canceled.
Oh no.
Yeah. So, all right, moving on. Next song is from 1970. It's an album called Silk Purse. I think it's the one where she's like in, you know, in like the, with a pig. Yeah, she's in like a pig pen with two pigs. Did you ever see this cover?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's disgusting. but this song is written by Carole King and Jerry Goffin. And this is Will You Love Me Tomorrow? That's a classic. Mm. Let's hear her version. You
that.
Never heard her version?
No.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many songs that she's done that it's crazy.
Yeah.
we're moving on for my next pick, and then we're going to do a three from Christy.
Woo.
This is from her self-titled album, 1972, just called Linda Ronstadt. And this is a song that she recorded. This is a Jackson Browne song called Rock Me on the Water.
There's no time to find you now. Oh, your walls are burning and your towers are turning. I gotta leave you here and try to get down to the sea somehow. Rock me on the water.
A Jackson Browne song that I've always liked.
Yeah.
And I like her version. So funny, looking at these first couple albums by her, albums were so short back then. Like these albums are like 32 minutes, 29 minutes long, just 10 songs. And there's it's a who's who of everyone on this album. I mean, Glenn Frey's on this, Bernie Ledden, J.D. Souther, Don Henley. I mean, all the names from you know, back in the day before everyone broke big were on these albums.
When I went to see the movie in the theater, Waddy Wattel, it was going to be like a Q&A with Waddy Wattel, and Jackson Browne showed up, and it was such a surprise, and it was so exciting. But I hate Q&As because there's always the one. There's always the one.
Yeah. What was the question that they asked?
Well, this woman said that her husband was like a sound engineer at one of these places. And they were like, oh, yeah, we mentioned him in the movie. Yeah. And she's like, I'm just saying he may have some tracks. He may have some. I'm like, is she trying to shake them down? Like what? And she just went on and on. And I'm just like, oh, I just want to leave. I want to leave this theater right now.
And it was Jackson Browne. Do you have a beard or no beard? Was he beard or no beard?
No beard.
All right. Sometimes he has a beard. Makes him look too old because his beard's gray. Because he looks pretty good for his age.
He looks great.
Yeah. And Waddy Wachtel still rocking that curly hair.
Oh, just looks the same.
I met him right before Christmas. I went to see Waddy Wachtel and Russ Kunkel and Leland Sklar and Danny Korchmar. They played out at a bar in Westlake Village.
Wow.
And I got to meet them all afterwards. And they were so nice. They were like, talk to you. Can I get a picture? Put their arm around you. I mean, they were amazing.
Wow.
They were so cool. So I'm trying to get, I'm supposed to get Waddy on the show. So.
Oh, that would be cool.
He's worked with everyone.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Adam Sandler. He has. Stevie Nicks. I mean, just Warren Zevon, Jackson Browne, James Taylor. It's crazy. And Linda. So now, okay, you got some for us. Let's do it.
For me, Linda's music, it really puts me in my childhood. And my mother was a single mom, and it was Carole King, Tapestry, it was her stuff, but also Linda. And these songs are all, a lot of them are just associated with that time in my life. This first one is kind of a country one that I just love. It's Silver Threads and Golden Needles.
And this is from the album Don't Cry Now.
Love that song.
In the documentary, she just she kind of fell into it too. I mean, success. She just kind of came out here with like some guys from her hometown and see what would happen.
Yeah.
And it happened for her, you know. And then the record label got rid of the Stone Ponies and just made it
right,
Linda Ronstadt.
But I loved how like they had no hard feelings about it. Like there was no one that said that she was anything but lovely.
Lovely.
But I think Dolly was kind of insinuating that like she's a perfectionist and like that part.
Yeah.
But it seemed like there were no hard feelings when she left the Stone Ponies.
I like that part where Dolly says, like Linda would say, no, sing it like this. And Dolly's like, no, you can sing it like that. I can't sing it like that.
Yeah.
And that's Dolly Parton saying that. Who can sing?
Yes.
Ah, so good.
All right. Well, I'll go into my next one.
All right.
I love this song. This is just another, these next two songs I can remember in my single mom's breakups that she would have with randos. And so
how many randos would come into play?
I mean, they weren't random. I mean, she'll date someone for a long time.
Okay.
Like it wasn't like there was a swinging door of randos.
And how old are you at this time that you can remember the first guy coming in that your mom's dating?
Well, 6 or 7, I can remember Gary or David.
Okay.
But then when there was a breakup, it was the music would come on like this song, You're No Good. I can remember her singing Davy, You're No Good. I have such clear memories. And this, of course, famously covered by Van Halen, but I love both versions.
Here we go.
Come on. Like, that is quality.
Now, I want to comment, of all the songs we've played so far, the production on this song is far and away better than those last songs. And that's because this is when she starts to work with Peter Asher as her producer. I would probably say it's the longest professional relationship she ends up having in her career, because he produces everything up through the Standards albums, like every single album. So, and you can tell he's getting, I mean, the voice is the voice.
Right.
But everything sounds on point there.
Yes, you know. Yes. Agreed. And then this next one, I can remember my mother buying the 45, coming into my room that had the Mickey Mouse record player where his hand was the needle.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I can very clearly remember this one. This is When Will I Be Loved?
Love.
it's kind of amazing to me that she had no problems recording a song that was a hit for someone else.
Yes.
Like an iconic song for someone else. She's like, well, let me give it my spin.
Yeah.
And then making it a hit again.
Yes. She did multiple Buddy Holly songs, correct?
Yeah. And this is actually an Everly Brothers song.
Oh, okay. Well, what were the Buddy Holly ones?
That'll Be the Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I'm thinking of. That one. And that one's a good one, too.
This album has songs written by Paul Anka, Hank Williams, James Taylor, J.D. Souther. I mean, it's incredible. I guess back then you wanted to get a song into Linda Ronstadt's hands or on one of her albums because that's where the ka-ching would come from.
Right. And In the documentary, they talk about Desperado, about how that record was going nowhere. Then she recorded it and it made them...
Yeah, it made it a hit for... Yeah. And then when they would sing it, they'd be like, oh, yeah, this is that Linda Ronstadt song. No, it's our song, but okay, we'll take it. Okay, next song is coming from me. This is from 1975. The album is Prisoner in Disguise, again, produced by Peter Asher. And this song is, it's a classic, Tracks in My Tears. Mm. On this album, she also records her version of I Will Always Love You, the Dolly Parton song. And Heat Wave is on here.
I mean, that's a great one.
Tons of great songs on this. And then here is the next album is Hasten Down the Wind. And this is that Buddy Holly song you just referenced.
Yes.
When you say goodbye, that'll be the day. When you make me cry, you say you're going to leave.
This album also features two songs that Linda did help write. One's a Spanish thing, which I can't read the title. It has the translation here. I'm Sorry, My Love is what it translates to. And another one called Try Me Again that she wrote with Andrew Gold.
Oh.
You know, the guy who wrote Lonely Boy. That guy.
Oh, what a lonely boy.
So now you have a song off Hasten Down the Wind, too. Tell us what that is. This is a Carla Bonoff song.
This is Someone to Lay Down Beside Me.
You can wake up in the middle of the night to write down your ideas.
Correct.
Alone in the street, for someone to walk up and greet. Here you are, all alone in the city. Where's the love that you took to your side? Lonely face.
It's great, right?
Yes.
She's about to do the belt.
Yeah.
She can do like the like the soft mm-hmm. stuff and still sound great, and then the louder stuff and still yep. sound great, and the high and the low. Like there's nowhere on the register right. that is doesn't work for
and then
her.
And then she can also belt it out.
Yeah.
It's it amazes me whenever I'm at a show at the Troubadour and I think about Linda Ronstadt played here and James Taylor and Elton John and Jackson Browne and the Eagles and Steve Martin. It's just like, it's such a small venue. Like it's unbelievable. Also, I want to say, I don't know how they did it back then because she virtually or literally has an album every year from like 1967 through 1982. Like there's an album like almost every single year. With
well,
hits.
Right. But I guess if you have, you know, a good ear of like, oh, I would sound good singing this song mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, writing them.
Writing
maybe
all the songs, right.
You know, not that it's not insanely incredible what she does.
But still, there would be a tour probably after all these.
Oh, right.
After all these albums.
Yeah.
Because that's when the cocaine comes in, right?
Oh, sure.
Did they talk about her in drugs at all? Or was it one of those things where they were just like, oh, there was always drugs around. They just fluff it away.
No. What? Why? Was she supposed to be a big druggie or something?
No, I don't know that. I don't know that.
I don't remember any.
Yeah, I don't remember any salacious stuff in there.
No.
Mm-mm. No.
Maybe.
Although there was a part where she was very skinny.
Well, she was, yeah.
In the documentary, there's a part where all of a sudden she's super skinny. So I assumed, oh, this is when there was some, not a lot of eating and some drugs were happening.
I don't know. Maybe she was just naturally. She was very young.
Yeah, true. I love when she wears the
Boy Scout.
It feels like she wears it all the time. And
I love it.
She probably did it once, and that's
or
where
maybe
all the
during
pictures
a,
come
during
from.
During one of the tours, perhaps. Yeah. I love that too. I loved her style.
It is cool, and she definitely. What was I going to say? She definitely grows into her looks. Like she becomes.
Right.
You know, because she's just like she kind of, at the beginning, she's just normal, looks normal. You know what I'm saying? But then all of a sudden, there's a light and there's something magical and different that's happening. Does that make sense? She becomes Linda Ronstadt.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's not the girl on the album cover with the pigs. So
right,
first,
right.
It's all of a sudden.
Well, it's adulthood, perhaps. I'm guessing she was very young.
Yeah.
And then she got maybe good management that's like, right. Hey, we want you to appeal to a broad audience, mm-hmm. not just young people.
Right.
Maybe.
Huh. I don't know. I don't know how it works. If I knew, I would do it for myself. next up is,
it's me. It's Blue Bayou. This song is so good. It's one of those that she does the low and then she does the belt and it's just gorgeous.
And again, a famous, famous song by Roy Orbison. Here we go. Blue Bayou.
Feel so bad, I got a worried mind. I'm so lonesome all the time. Since I left my baby behind on Blue Bayou. Saving nickels, saving dimes. Working till the sun don't shine. Looking forward to happier times on Blue Bayou.
Lovely.
It says that Don Henley is on harmony vocals on this, or background vocals, but I didn't hear any background vocals in the part that we listened to. Maybe it comes later.
Yeah.
Maybe it comes near the end.
Maybe.
I always love reading that there, like Don Henley. Oh, so was she just like, hey, I need background vocals. Can you come down to the studio? Yeah, I'll come out. You know what I mean? It just feels like that's what that 70s Southern California community was.
Right.
Yeah, I'll watch any documentary about any of this time period. Laurel Canyon, anything about Laurel Canyon, anything about Joni Mitchell and Crosby, Stills, and any of that. I'll watch it. Did you see the David Crosby documentary?
No.
You should watch that one.
Okay. I do follow him on Twitter, and I enjoy him.
he's answered my tweets quite a few times.
And I love that, like, someone like, oh, do you like any heavy metal? And he's like, no.
No.
Like, he is not sparing anyone's, like, no.
No, he's not wasting any time.
Yeah.
Or just be like, please. You know, just like, he's just like, no.
What I found interesting in the tweets of his is Beatles' favorite, but then followed second by Steely Dan.
Steely Dan, yeah.
I'm like, whoa, that's interesting to me.
I know. He just, but.
I mean, not that they're not great, but I just didn't, that just is interesting to me.
I know. Like, I don't know what I thought would be second, but I didn't think it would be Steely Dan. But I mean, they're crazy. I mean, if you're a musician, you're hearing stuff that maybe I'm not hearing.
Right.
I mean, I love Steely Dan too, but I'm talking about the musicianship. You know what I mean? Like, I hear it and say, oh my God, that's amazing. But a musician might hear it and really go like, know how difficult that is.
Right. I think after knowing Elliot, I do listen more judgmentally, I guess, more with more discerning ear to like some guitar solos.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, that's nothing. That's just you just randomly, you know, doing a thing. And I just would never have considered their difference, except I knew Elliot's were great because they had their own little melody, their own little thing.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You know whose guitar solos I love? And what band has great guitar solos? REO Speedwagon.
Really?
Gary Richrath plays amazing solos, like in songs that you don't even, like if I said, oh, this song has a guitar solo in it, you'd be like, that song doesn't have a guitar solo. And then it's just
Roll
like,
with the Changes. That's fantastic.
Keep
that
on
one.
Loving You has an amazing guitar solo. It's
yes.
It's so good, and it's just and it's there, but it's not overpowering. It's just it's just a part of the song, and we move on. So
right, good on him.
Good on him, Gary Richrath. Rock in peace, Gary.
Rock. Oh gosh, is he not with us?
No, he's not with us.
Ah, and this is how I find out.
Aren't you glad you came?
Oh, my goodness. All right. My next one is a Warren Zevon song, if I'm not correct.
You're right.
Like I'm a little scattered lately. This is Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me. I love that.
So good. Now I have another song off of this one, and this is a big example of what we were talking about. She covers the Rolling Stones' "Tumbling Dice."
Yeah,
I mean that's a huge song for the for the Rolling Stones, and yet you hear her version and you think it's hers. It's just as much hers.
Yeah.
Thought someone would have said, well, you can't record a Rolling Stone song. That this was just their song a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But she, well, and what's cool, what I love like connecting stuff. Like Waddy Wachtel plays electric guitar on that. And then later he is in the Expensive Winos with Keith Richards' band.
Oh.
So I wonder how, you know what I mean? I always like to see, hey, how do these things connect? You know?
Hmm.
Very dismissive.
No, I think that that's lovely, Pat.
That's interesting, Pat.
No, I think that's darling.
This is what I think of. These are the things I think of. Let me ask you this. Let me jump off topic for a second.
Please.
Are you an Academy Awards person? You watch the Academy Awards?
I didn't this year because I was on a plane. I was at my sorority reunion.
Oh, okay.
But I missed it. But I heard some things. I knew of the winners.
Did you see any of the movie? Did you see The Parasite?
I did.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
It was one of those that just stays with you and story turns that you do not see coming. You know something bad's coming. You know it's coming.
You have no idea what it is.
You have no idea. And I just thought that was wonderful. I thought it was wonderful.
It was.
It
was really great.
It had its own look and it's, that stays with you, that movie.
So I think it was the day after the Academy Awards, I'm talking to my mom on the phone and she's like, huh. Did you see those Academy Awards? And I said, yeah. She goes, what is this Parasite? I go, it's great. Did you see it? I go, yes, it's great. She goes, would I like it? I go, well, it has subtitles, so you'd have to read it. And she goes, forget it.
Did you see Jojo Rabbit?
Oh, I loved it.
Oh God,
those are my two favorites.
So tell me, those songs, do people just record songs in different languages?
I have those Beatles songs. Yeah.
And then there the Bowie song at the end.
Yeah, I have those versions. Yeah. It didn't happen a lot.
Okay.
It didn't happen a lot, but it happens. For example, I think I might have something here for you.
Oh.
Let me find it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here we go. People recording songs in different languages. It happens.
Como? Déjame nomás subir a la acera para echarle un ojo. Uy, qué bella. Me refiero a la Yankee Rose. Una rosa silvestre.
I got that whole album in Spanish.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't? Going crazy. Loco del calor.
Oh, no.
You just groove into it. You love it. It's Dave.
Sure.
And then here we go.
Oh my.
Very much like Linda Ronstadt, who later on in her career sings some Spanish language songs, does some albums.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do a duet together? He obviously sings in Spanish.
Oh my goodness. Could you imagine?
It'd be ridiculous. I just played Tumbling Dice. Now we're
so moving. Is it me? Just One Look?
Sure.
Okay. Or did I jump? Did I jump ahead?
Doesn't matter. Sure. We're on the same album, so right. You go next.
Yay.
Just One Look. Here we go.
Just one look, and I feel so high.
Dressed up in this outfit before.
Yes, I wanted to find it on my Insta. Yes.
Yes,
this album cover is just one of the best in history, I think. I think it's so fantastic. It's really, it's this picture.
Yes, there you go. It's Linda Ronstadt in short shorts and some...
Oh, the roller skates.
The roller skates and the high tube socks. It just looks like it doesn't even look like that was a photo taken for an album.
Right.
It's just like... That's a photo of her, and they're like, oh, yeah, let's put that on the album.
It's so great. Anyway, I tried to recreate it in my offices, and it resulted in the next day them saying, like, you can't roller skate in these offices. That's against the rules.
Did you get in trouble?
I did.
A grown woman, you got in trouble.
A grown woman. Because we have these floors that are just these cement floors. So I, and it, they're kind of, it goes around. And I thought, I'm going to bring my roller skates. And so I did. And I kind of skated from the room to my office, to the bathroom, whatever. And other people were like, this looks like fun. I'm going to buy roller skates. And
it was going to be a thing.
It was going to be a thing.
Skate club.
Yes. And then someone came in and shut it down.
And who's that person who doesn't enjoy fun?
I don't know. Some key jangler. The HVAC in our building is so wonky. We are sweating in this. I mean, at one point I had a jumpsuit on, like a long sleeve jumpsuit. And luckily I had a t-shirt.
Was that Devo day?
It was Devo day. But I had to remove the top of the jumpsuit and put the t-shirt on because it was insane.
Where are you writing the show?
We are in North Hollywood in just some building.
Really?
Yes.
All right. That's not too bad of a commute though, right?
Well, a little over 30 minutes. I guess I can't complain. Our offices are moving to like the Empire Center in Burbank, like near the Burbank Airport.
Okay.
That's going to be a little bit schleppier, but whatever. I'm working.
Here's one of those songs that it's also from Living in the USA. That she does a cover of, and maybe people didn't know that she did a cover of this song. I'm curious to see if you know. Here we go.
Well, it's so funny to be seeing you after so long, girl. About the way you look, I understand that you were not impressed. But I heard you let that little friend of mine take off your party dress.
Little saxophone. I'm gonna predict David Sanborn. It is.
I was like, if it was any in the 70s, 80s, it's David Sanborn.
It can't be anyone else.
No one else.
Her voice is so on point just in the quieter moments of that song. All of a sudden, it just like gets up there a little bit, just sneaks in there.
Mm.
All right, I love it.
I do too. And this next one, it gets me in the roller skating era. Like I can remember roller skating to this song, y'all.
And this is from Mad Love?
Yes, this is How Do I Make You?
This is such a good album. She enters the 80s with Mad Love. It's like, it's kind of a new wave-ish feel. She like said, I want to do some of that.
Well, and you can roller skate to it. Did you ever roller skate, Pat?
I'm not a good roller skater.
But did you back in the day?
I did, but I'm not good. I'm not good at ice skating or roller skating. I know it's a different thing. I can ski, but I'm not good at those other two things. I'm always like trying not to fall.
I was good back in the day, but that was where that was where young people went.
Yeah.
Roller skating.
And this is Texas. Do you remember what the skating rink was where you would go?
Oh, yeah. There were several.
Several.
Rollerland West. But there, I guess, was another Rollerland. I don't know. I just knew of Rollerland West.
You have to have roller in the title of the rink, right? Usually.
Or Silver Wheel.
Okay.
Was another one.
All
and
right.
I'm sure there was some other one that I don't know that like when I'd go to visit my cousins. And it was such a thing. It was, you know, and the older kids that would like go back behind and make out behind the, you know, building. And it was just a real center of youth activity back in the day.
Can Johnny skate? Is he a skater?
He doesn't love it. No.
Okay. What about Gary? Can he skate?
No.
Okay,
no.
I'm in Gary's camp then. I can't. Gary yeah, and I should skate together.
It's such a time stamp on it for me, that just that whole skating and the music, and it's very right there.
Do you have rollerblades also? I can barely
I
say that word. Rollerblades.
No, I tried one time, and it was along Venice.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was some car for some reason that parked and opened its door right in my path, and I barely avoided, I guess, crashing into it. And I'm like, yeah, this is not.
Forget it.
Yeah,
you're
no
dead.
More.
All right, you're out.
No, exactly.
Do I have a song
That's
off
you.
Mad Love? I do.
You
I do.
Do.
She records. She recorded three Elvis Costello albums. Let me start over. She recorded three Elvis Costello songs on this album. Party Girl, Girls Talk, and Talking in the Dark. Weird. Here we go. This is I Can't Let Go. Producer Peter Asher on tambourine on that song. Peter Asher, again, also supposed to be coming on the show soon. Hopefully in March. Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah, he has a book out.
Gotta get Roy Thomas Baker in here.
I've tried.
He follows me on the Twitter.
Yeah, me too. And sometimes he likes my tweets.
Yes.
But I can't get a hold of him. I email him and everything. He lives in Beverly Hills, I believe.
Wow.
That would be crazy.
That would be awesome.
You want to be here
if that
happens? I mean, that would be crazy. Okay, next album is Get Closer. You didn't have anything off this album.
I think I did.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah.
You do.
This is a Dolly Parton song sung with Dolly and Emmy Lou. It's My Blue Tears.
So this is the gateway to the trio.
Yes.
Here we go.
Fly away from my window, little bluebird. Upon my ear, go spread your blue wings, and I'll shed my blue tears for the one that I have loved. He has left me and gone, and I am in no mood for to hear your sad song.
Harris looks fantastic.
Oh yeah,
because it's just from the documentary.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
She, I love that her hair's gray and long, and she just looks gorgeous. I love it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't remember. I don't clock those things, Pat.
I clock men or women if they look great. I'm just look how good he looks. Look how good she looks. Yeah, this is, and I guess this is Linda's last pop kind of an album for a while too. And
right.
I'm gonna play the. I'm going to play the title track. If you use close-up toothpaste, you remember it from, from the close-up.
If you're a Gen Xer.
That's right. But here's Get Closer. There was a video for this song, I remember.
In the polka dot dress?
Yeah. That album cover was a gatefold so that you could see the whole dress.
Just say
so much success from 1967 to here. She could have retired if she wanted to.
Yeah.
But she doesn't.
She doesn't.
She does something different.
Right. And in the documentary, they talk about it, how she wanted to do some American standards mm-hmm. and like Nelson Riddle type things. And they were like, well, you know, Nelson Riddle is still alive.
Right.
You can, you know, record with him.
And she was probably one of these people that was like, oh, he'll never want to do this with me. Like, I love those people.
La, la, la. Get close up.
Should be good. All right. So how do we set? Yeah, so they talk, you were saying they talk in the documentary about her wanting to do the standards.
Yes.
And she wants to work with
Nelson Riddle, like Nelson Riddle type songs. And they're like, you know, he's still alive. And so and she asked him and they recorded a couple of these.
Three.
Oh, gosh.
Three of these.
Okay.
They did, they do What's New, Lush Life, and For Sentimental Reasons.
Well, this one is What'll I Do from What's New.
Gone is the romance that was so divine. 'Tis broken and cannot be mended. You must go your way and I must go mine. But now that our love dreams have ended, what'll I do?
It's very risky to do an album like this too when you have a fan base that knows you from, you know, country or pop or rock, and then you try this, but she nails it. I mean,
yeah.
No one else did it better. I mean, Rod Stewart albums.
Yeah,
this is just not good.
They're not.
But this
the
is
same.
She can do it.
Oh, and I remember kind of getting into them a little bit, and yeah. I remember when this song specifically came up in that Cheers episode. Do you remember when Diane left?
No, I don't remember that. No.
And they had this amazingly beautiful and poignant scene of seeing them as old people together.
Wow, I don't remember this at all.
Oh, it really made me, I mean, it made me cry. I can just remember like how, but I had to double check that it was that song, but I can, and so I remember at that time, like, oh, I'm a young person, but it's still getting into those,
yeah, yeah.
those songs because they're beautiful and. They were in Cheers.
Yeah.
For heaven's sakes.
So this probably alienated a little of the fan base, but at the same time, gained a whole new fan base, these three albums. Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
This one is from her second outing with the Nelson Riddle Orchestra. This is from Lush Life. This is When I Fall in Love.
When I fall in love, it will be forever, or I'll never fall in love. In a restless world like this is, love is ended before it's begun. And too many moonlight kisses seem to melt in the warmth of the sun. When I give my heart.
And let's do one more from the third, For Sentimental Reasons. Let's do My Funny Valentine.
Thou knowest not, my dim-witted friend, the picture thou hast made. Thy vacant brow and thy tousled hair conceal thy good intent. Thou noble, upright, truthful, sincere, and slightly dopey gent. You're my funny valentine.
I love that scene at the end of the documentary where she's in the living room singing with her, I think it's her nephew and someone else. And they, I think the interviewer might say, "See, you're singing." And she goes, "That's not singing." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, so sad.
Yeah.
When people get, she has Parkinson's, right?
I believe so.
What she has? Yeah.
And here's what I will say that I appreciate is you have people like Ray Charles or Willie Nelson, who are singing, quote unquote, when you hear the voice, it's like, oh, that person is near death. What I appreciate is that she's like, you know what? I can't do everything I could do. I'm not going to do it at all.
Not going to do it at all.
And I appreciate that.
I'm not going to disappoint my fans.
Oh,
I'm not going to disappoint
Lord.
Myself.
I don't know if you've seen that clip of Willie Nelson singing the Rainbow Connection. And I saw it. I said, oh, Willie Nelson, the Rainbow Connection. Two things that are amazing. And I'm going to get to see it together. And I clicked on it. And I'm like, I wish I could unsee this.
It's horrifying.
It's horrifying in many, many ways. I mean, I guess in two or three. But you know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
And I just appreciate that, like, you know what? I can't do it. I'm not going to do it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, but if Willie Nelson stops performing, does he just pass away a year after that? Like, does this keep him alive? Does this keep him?
Maybe.
You know what I mean? That's why you.
Ozzy, too.
Oh, my God. That new Ozzy album is terrible. But Ozzy's done. I think Ozzy's done because he has Parkinson's now. And he just canceled all the tour dates. It's weird, though. Like, I said this on a couple episodes ago. Did all this stuff that Ozzy did to his body, did that cause him to eventually get Parkinson's disease?
I don't know. It works like that. I don't know
how it works either.
I don't know
how that works. You're not a doctor?
Well.
So I don't know how it works either.
I'm a little bit of a doctor, but I'm an internet doctor, sleuth. But I don't know if there's a connection
that. I don't know. I think it's just,
I would guess no, but I don't know. But they somehow link wine drinking to cancer, so they can just link anything to anything.
Yeah.
Really. They can just boop, boop, boop. Like, they can
do
anything.
How much wine
now.
Drinking?
I don't know. Well, they say one glass a day ups your chance of cancer.
I used to, like, your voice cranked. I used to hear that a glass of red wine a day was good for you.
Who knows? Who knows?
Do you have a glass of red wine a day?
Well, I have white wine and I have more than a glass. I'll tell you that.
Mommy needs her sleepy juice.
No, but I'm like, well, I have to just avoid all the other factors.
Yeah.
So that, you know.
Give us something. You don't smoke, so you know,
right.
You're not vaping.
I work out. That's why my hair is wet. I was at the gym.
Come on. Give us one thing we can do.
Right.
Come on. Damn it, life. You have a song. We're out of the our chronological order right now, but you have a song.
I have a song that I brought that was on the Urban Cowboy soundtrack, and it's a J.D. Souther with Linda Ronstadt, and it's lovely. It's called "Hearts Against the Wind."
And again, when Linda starts singing, it's a whole different thing.
Yes, yes.
The police are coming.
Hearts that love where no love grows are gifts with no return. They know the coldest wind that blows where once a fire burned. To blow hearts without breaking again.
There's a song on the Get Closer album that she sings with James Taylor. And I believe he sings first and he sounds real good. But then when she sings again, it's a whole different, yeah. It's like, oh, no one should really sing with her unless it's Emmylou and Dolly because, or the guy coming up in a minute. These two guys do a pretty good job.
Oh.
This is a song from An American Tale, an animated film.
Oh, yes.
And this is with James Ingram. This is Somewhere Out There. This might have won an Academy Award, maybe.
I think maybe.
For best song.
Somewhere out there, beneath the pale moonlight, someone's thinking of me and loving me tonight.
He's holding his own, I guess.
Sure.
Someone saying a prayer that we'll find one another in that big somewhere out there. And even though I know how very far apart we are, it helps to think we might be wishing on the same bright star.
And when the night wind starts to sing a lonesome lullaby, it helps to think we're sleeping underneath the same big sky.
Goosebumps. It's on arms and legs.
I understand because it's especially in the headphones, it sounds incredible.
Oh my goodness. Wow. What a song.
So then she does a couple trio albums. She does one of her Spanish language albums. And then she decides that she wants to get back into the pop world. So she does an album in 1989 called Cry Like a Rainstorm, Howl Like the Wind. And she sings, I think, 3 or 4 songs with Aaron Neville on this album. And this is a huge success. And to see her with this big, like, he's very scary looking. This Aaron Neville. He's really scary looking.
Absolutely terrifying.
Until he opens his mouth and he's like the sweetest. I think in the documentary, she says something like, oh, you're going to fly to Los Angeles and we're going to record together. And I think he says, well, I'm going to have to ask my wife if I can do that. But this was the big, this was, I think, the first one that they released, Don't Know Much.
Look at this face. I know the years are showing.
And this voice doesn't come from that guy.
That huge guy.
It doesn't look like it at all.
I still don't know where it's going.
It's like if The Rock was singing.
Right.
I don't know much, but I know I love you. And that may be all I need to know.
Look at these eyes, they've never seen what matters. Look at these dreams, so big and so better.
I don't know much, but I know I love you. And that may be all I need to know.
Can you sing at all, Christy? I forget. Can you sing?
No. Although I did. I was the mass singer at my son's little fundraiser party.
They did
the karaoke night.
They did a mask singer thing?
No. I was the only one. It was a karaoke night. And my husband was the master of ceremonies.
Okay.
Gary was. And I noticed there was like, their teacher was going to be a mask singer. And I go, well, do you need another mask singer? I've got a bee costume. And he's like, yeah. So I did it. And the other guy dropped out. Like, or he sang, but he didn't put on a costume. Uh-huh. So here I am in my car. I race from work. And, you know, and I run in with the bee head and I sing my song. I did Drift Away.
All right.
That's what I did. But it was hard. Those people who do that, it's hard to stick that mic up into that little.
Into the mask?
Yeah. Yeah.
That, first of all, that show drives me insane. It's so, I don't even know where to start.
Oh, it's total crazy making, but those costumes are amazing.
But when they're, first of all, I don't get that panel. I mean, I understand Robin Thicke, and I understand the girl that was in the
Nicole Scherzinger.
Yes, I don't know how to say her name. I understand that they're singers, but Jenny McCarthy, she doesn't know anything. Ken Jeong, I love him in movies when he's reading words that someone else wrote, but as a comedian, and as that's why they keep bringing on guest judges who are comedians, because he's not carrying his weight. Then when they guess, it's like,
oh yeah,
I think it's Mick Jagger, I think it's Michael Bolton, I think it's Barry Manilow,
Barack Obama,
and then it's David Faustino, Married with Children. It's like, what are you doing? It's not none of those people.
None of those people are coming to this show. It's very funny that what they guess.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, we're done, but we gotta play out song. First of all, where can we find you on the Twitter and all the stuff?
I rarely tweet, but you
don't
can
tweet
find
anymore.
I just
you like
I'm
some
busy.
Stuff. Maybe
I'm busy.
Retweet some stuff.
Right. At Christy S. Mann, although Lisa Loeb followed me recently. Thank
Ooh,
you for that.
You
I'm sure that came from here. And I'm on Insta. I'm on Instagram. At Christy Stratton.
Are you do you do more on Instagram than
probably,
Twitter?
But even that it's
Yeah, all right. You're busy.
Not busy.
If you could sing like Linda Ronstadt, would you ever have gone into writing?
No. I don't know, maybe.
Maybe you still
I
might want to write. Yeah.
No.
Did you ever write a song? Did you ever write lyrics? Jot them down, some lyrics?
I know. I've done like sorority songs or fraternity, like parody songs. And like for skits and stuff, like I know I have for, in fact, I wrote one that's in an episode of Bless the Hearts. but nothing, not real songs.
Okay. When does Bless the Hearts, come back for season two?
September. Yeah.
So has that first episode even begun the animation process yet?
Yes.
It has.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Oh, we are deep in it.
You're
I'm
deep
like,
in
if
it.
I'm writing,
okay.
The first, cause the first one I co-wrote and that we've seen an animatic of, and it turned out great, but we make changes and tweaks and whatnot. We have to work way ahead on these things.
And does a super buff Kumail Nanjiani ever stop by just to say hello?
Well, I directed him on a pickup session just one time, but we don't write him in as much because it's so hard to get him.
Was he shirtless when he did it? You saw the picture of him, right?
I did. And what was
so
interesting was
cool.
When he came in, it was months before, but I'm like, oh, what? Surprised me.
Yeah.
But I liked him. I thought he was very nice.
He likes
to be read into his things, which I think is good and smart. And it gives a good performance when someone is reading you into the,
You mean someone reads the lines that acts with him.
Yes. You could either just say your line five times and go on to the next one.
Yeah.
But what's great about him, and because on King of the Hill, that's what we did. We had the actors in the room and they would play with each other, but they just don't do that anymore. People don't have time. So they come in and just record four episodes and they, you know, just do one line four different ways and whatnot. But I liked how he wanted to genuinely feed off of
that's cool.
The material. And I thought that was good.
I love the show, but that is my favorite part. I love when she talks to Jesus.
Yeah.
I just love it. It's so good. And when I heard him doing the first time,
it's so great.
I was like, oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty
it's
cool.
A good
cast. Good cast.
Yeah.
Strong.
But I'll tell you, they're all so busy that we have to read at the table reads. We have to do it.
Because there's no table reads with all
they
those
people.
They cannot
make it. No. No one can make it.
Yeah. Kristen Wiig is in Wonder Woman 2.
Sure.
She's the villain. So
So it's all the writers. I read Maya's part, Betty.
Do you do an imitation of Maya doing Betty, or do you just read it?
I kind of just do a you know, Jenny, what's going on in here? Like that kind of, just to kind of give it that energy, which is.
Which you need.
Right.
You need it.
Yeah.
All right, Christy, we are at Rock Solid Show. I am at @Pat_Francis. Kyle is at Kyle.SomeFunny. Go to rocksolidpodcast.com for everything about the show. We are going to close up. Thank you for being here and fitting us into your super busy schedule. I feel like I've been tongue-tied the whole episode.
No.
Yeah, I feel like maybe a couple mini strokes.
I didn't notice even one mini stroke.
All right. Well, that's good. We are giving away Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice, 5 Blu-ray copies in conjunction with this episode. And this came from a bunch of people that I had to have some problems with. So we'll... this woman said that she was going to send them to me. And then they didn't come. They didn't come. They didn't come. And I kept emailing. No one would answer me back, emailing. And then eventually I did get a call on my cell phone. This was just like 2 weeks ago. And it's a number I don't know, but I'm like, yeah, I'll click over for this. Hello. And the guy's like, hey, is this Pat Francis? I'm like, yeah. And he says who he is. And he goes, hey, I'm with the company that did the Linda Ronstadt documentary. And we are so sorry that no one got back to you. Olivia, we had to let her go. No, just a big, whole big thing. And I go, oh, I was worried. I thought, was she sick? Did she die? He goes, no, she just wasn't really doing her job very well.
Oh,
so
no.
We kind of let her go. He goes, but I'm putting these in the mail myself today. And they came the next day, FedEx. So there we go. But I don't remember anyone's name because I've been dealing with this for so long.
Oh, my goodness.
But Christy, again, always great to see you. Thank you for being here. And you are the Lisa Loeb of our show.
Oh, thank you.
Because you sing a little and you have glasses in hair.
And things.
And things and all that. And this is from Simple Dreams. This is It's So Easy, which this is another Buddy Holly song. Here we go.